To take your Bibles to Luke chapter number 5, Luke chapter 5, on the Utley's final Sunday with us. And again, I'm looking forward to tonight what the Lord's laid on Pastor Utley's heart. That's what we're going to call you from now on, Pastor Utley. When I came here, Pastor Golson said, are you okay? What do you like to be called? I said, I'm okay with anything, you know, just don't call me late for dinner. And he said, no, you can't do that. He said, you got to go Pastor Shakur. I said, that doesn't sound right, but now it does. So anyways, I think that's what we'll be calling Pastor Utley from now on. But really looking forward to what the Lord will have tonight. And I love how the Lord works. I was looking at the calendar today, and I just kind of figured this all out. Today actually marks my 6 years of arriving here at Tabernacle. Amen. You know, it's just amazing how the Lord just works all that out. This is the anniversary when the Lord launched me out here, launched me in here, and then today the Lord be launching Pastor John out of here. And, you know, it's just amazing how even still with tonight's fellowship, Elisa texted me about a month ago, and by the way, what a fantastic song, one of my favorites, and he knows our name, praise the Lord. He has every hair of our head counted. I won't say anything, Pastor John. No, hallelujah, I had to get you back. Elisa called and texted and said, you know, this goodbye fellowship doesn't sound right, you know, going away fellowship or farewell fellowship. Said, do you have any other ideas? And I said, well, thought through a few, and I said, what about a launch party? Now, I was kind of joking with that. I just kind of thought it sounded funny, launch party. And the more I thought about it, I said, that kind of works. Let's have a launch party. And there's no DJ or anything there tonight, but we're just excited about the launch party tonight. And just so happens that we're in Luke 5. We'll be going verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and we're in Luke 5 where the Lord tells Simon Peter to launch out into the deep. I think the Lord has a theme for us this Sunday of launching out at his word. In Luke chapter 5, of course, from chapter 4, the Lord has left Nazareth and has been preaching in this region of Galilee. And it goes down to this body of water, what Luke labels Lake Gennesaret. And really, there's 15 different names for this place throughout history. It's such a popular place. It's known as Lake Tiberias in the Gospel of John, in John 6, 1 and John 21, verse 1. It's Lake Tiberias. And we know it best as the Sea of Galilee. I like how everybody tried to name it, but Jesus was the only one that tamed it. Amen? In Mark chapter 4, Jesus looked out and said, peace be still. And he calmed the wind and he calmed the waves and the waters. And here in Luke chapter 5, Jesus calms the very wildlife that is in this lake, a very significant lake in the ministry of the Lord Jesus. Did you know that the Sea of Galilee is the lowest freshwater lake in the world, 690 feet below sea level? It's extremely long. It's 13 miles long, 8 miles wide. It's a very central point to the ministry of Jesus, a very central part of the people's lives in this region. It provided the source of water. It still provides a major source of water for those that are living in the nation of Israel. By the way, there's no Palestine. There's just Israel. There doesn't need to be two states. There's one state in God's book, and that's his people, and the nation of Israel relies still upon that water. At this time and still today, it's the center of a freshwater fishing industry, and people rely upon this lake. That's why everybody tried to name it in all these areas. And here the Lord comes and he uses this lake many times in his ministry. Hey, he walks upon the very water of this lake and he stills the storm on this lake. And here he does something miraculous for the Apostle Peter. No doubt you've heard of this miracle in all the flannel graphs in children's church or something like that, where you've seen the draught of the fishes and how Jesus provided for his disciples and how Simon Peter caught this great multitude of fish. But the story really isn't about the fish, it's about the followers. If you found your place in Luke chapter 5, I want to ask you to stand for the reading of God's word. We'll read two verses and draw our attention to two parts of these verses. It's not about the fish, it's about the followers. It's not the miracle of getting the fish into the boat, it's the miracle of getting Peter out of the boat, out on the land to find more fish. And here in Luke chapter 5, let's look at verse number 4. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing, Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. I want to draw your attention to verse 4, to the phrase, launch out. And then in verse 5, to Peter's response, at thy word. I want to preach for a few moments on the subject, launch out at his word. The Lord wants us to launch out at his word. Thank you for standing and may be seated. It was 6.5 years ago now, the Lord started to stir in my spirit to launch out. I was thankful for the Bible college I was trained at and the seminary study that I had and the opportunities that I was presented to travel across the country and preach in many different Christian schools, and then later having the opportunity to go back to that ministry where I was trained and serve as a youth pastor, and then later on as an assistant pastor. And at one point, I was preaching there for about a year and a half to about thousands of college students and church members. And I really was, my mind was blown that I was given these opportunities, but there still was a desire in my heart. I remember as I was reading Paul Chappell's book, The Right Path, I just surrendered there at my desk and said, Lord, I want the right path. I'm preaching, I'm having every opportunity imaginable, but I want your path. I never heard of Tabernacle Baptist Church. I'd been to Wilson once, and that was to Bethel Baptist. I had collard greens for the first time. Praise the Lord, I was hooked, and maybe that's why I'm here, but I never heard of this place, and I didn't know exactly what the Lord wanted me to do, and I told the people that were there what the Lord was doing in my heart, and I resigned. I've since learned you're not really supposed to resign until you find a place, but I resigned. In the age of 27, I was looking for a senior pastor position. Not many churches are looking for a senior pastor at the age of 27. And I began to travel and go to different places, and there was a church up in New Hampshire that had many different standards and different structure, but I thought, well, I can go in there and kind of set things straight and things like that. But they wanted to vote on me, and I said, well, you can schedule it, but I've already committed to this church meeting in a gymnasium down in Wilson, and I'm probably not going to go there. They have so many churches already in North Carolina, and I said, I'll go anywhere except North Carolina, so I'm just going to go by myself, and I'll go down, and I'll preach, and just kind of rule it out, and see what the Lord does, but I'll go and return. Well, as soon as I stepped in the gym where we're meeting across the street, I knew this was the place the Lord was leading me. I preached on the filling of the Holy Spirit, and I knew that I could not quench the Spirit, and so I called my wife and I said, honey, we found the place. This is where the Lord wants us to go. I thought back to that weekend. It may have been that it was warm that weekend, and it was about 12 degrees in New Hampshire. I don't know, but I just said, I've got to be in Wilson. And so we came down that very next week, and the week following, they voted at 98% vote. I've since extended indulgences and forgiveness for the two that voted against me, but I knew the Lord had called me here, and I knew this was the place He wanted me to launch out. You know, it's amazing, and by the way, I'm looking forward to stay for a while. I want to stay at least 10 years because I'm going to Israel in 10 years. And then I've asked the Lord for me to be the longest serving pastor here at Tabernacle. And I don't know what that is, 15 years. And you know, I really like it if this is the last ministry as I serve the Lord as long as I can preach. Amen. I'm tired of hearing about these people leaving here and there and everywhere. And hey, we need to buckle in and serve God. As I've been here, the Lord has led us to launch out many times. We launched out in this property. I remember walking this property and praying and saying, Lord, build a work for your kingdom. The Lord built this building. We launched out and provided. He now has this facility is debt-free. That's a miracle. We launched out and hired a youth pastor, full-time youth pastor, hired a music pastor, launched out, and the Lord has brought people on the team here, John Langman serving in ministry. We've launched out many different areas with building programs and updates in ministry, and I've learned this. The Lord wants us to live a life of launching out at His Word. He wants us to go to the deep. He wants us to do something we've never done before. He wants us to follow His direction. He wants us to launch out at His Word. And here in Luke chapter 5, the Lord leaves this lesson for us. And He teaches it to Simon Peter, how to launch out into the deep, how to let down your nets, and how to follow the Lord even until death. I wanted to take you through this passage and show what the Lord taught Simon Peter, and He's still teaching me today. Notice, first of all, the ministry of Christ. The ministry of Christ. The ministry of Christ here in the text and throughout the Gospels is one of communication and condescension. Jesus came to this earth to teach and preach the gospel. Jesus came to this earth to save sinners. Jesus came to this earth to suffer, bleed, and die so we may be saved. That was his ministry. Look at verse number one. This is how he demonstrates it. Look at it. And it came to pass, as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Notice first the ministry of communication. Here's Jesus. He's so popular in Galilee, the Bible says the people were pressing upon him. They wanted to hear the word of God. Jesus had said in Luke chapter 4 and verse 43 that I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. Hey, you know someone's a preacher when they say I must preach, like Pastor John mentioned earlier. Here all the residents of the city surrounding come down to this Sea of Galilee, and they create a natural amphitheater of sorts. And they're not there for the healing. They're not there for the miracles. They want to hear the word of God. Hey, that's what church ought to be about, hearing of the word of God. Amos chapter 8 verse 11 says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, preach the word. Don't preach politics. Don't preach your opinion. Preach the word. Be instant in and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and sound doctrine, for the time will come. And friends, that time is today. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. In other words, they don't like it when a preacher rebukes. They don't like it when a preacher reproves. That's two out of three of the part of preaching. There's exhortation, yes, but there's got to come reproof and rebuke. And he said, the time will not come. Well, they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Hey, just tell us something that will scratch our ears just a little bit. They'll turn their ears away from the truth and be turned unto fables. Hey, there's always a need for the men of God to launch out and to preach and teach the word of God. Here he's by a lake and there's two ships, and he steps into one. This may have been the first sound ministry in Scripture. The words, the scholars have studied this and have said that he perhaps went into that ship because the sound would have been muffled as the people were pressing upon him. But since the still water would have served as a magnifying sounding board, he stepped back into that boat. And as he spoke, his voice would have been carried to all that were around. Either way, he stepped into Simon's ship. I believe this pictures the condescension ministry of Christ. He entered into one of the ships. Think about that for a moment. Here's the Son of God, the Creator of the world. Here, the one who left heaven's glory, who stepped off the street of gold and passed through the gates of pearl. He steps into a smelly, somewhat used fishing boat. I'm glad that God can use anything for his purpose. God can use anyone for his purpose. You see, the ministry of Christ was not just the ministry of communicating truth, but it was also the ministry of condescending to our lowest state. And I don't know about you this morning, but I'm thankful that the perfect Son of God left heaven's glory to walk into this sin-sick world that I may be saved, that you may be saved. In Luke chapter 19, verse 10, that's the theme verse for this book. Luke 19, 10, if you want to jot it down. For the Son of Man cometh not but to seek and to save that which is lost, was lost. But here the Lord requests something of Peter. Notice he says, he sits into Peter's boat and he says, thrust it out a little. That's the same word used later on for launch out. You know, sometimes before we get the command to launch out a lot, we need to be obedient to the command to launch out a little. The Bible says in Luke chapter 16, verse 10, he that is faithful in that which is least will be also faithful in that which is much. Notice first the ministry of Christ, but notice next the mandate of Christ. Verse number 4 says that when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep. Again, let down your nets for a draught. Jesus had said, Peter, launch out a little. Peter obeyed. Now he says, Peter, launch out a lot. Some have suggested that the Lord may have been trying to pay Peter for the use of his boat. I don't know if that was the case, but the Lord knew Peter's need. And friend, this morning, God knows your need. He knew Peter's disappointment. He knew what Peter had just experienced, and he wanted to meet that need. And he was bringing Peter to a place where he would learn to trust God. He was bringing Peter to a place where he would launch out, where he would learn how to leave and believe Jesus. You see, to leave was to launch out was to leave the shore where they were presently located. But this time, he was obedient in the command to launch out a little. But here, this time, Peter first objects. Notice verse 5. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Think about it just a moment. Here's Simon. He's been working all night and he's had no sleep. Of course, we're always in the best mood when we've been up all night with no sleep. I've worked the graveyard shift. Anybody worked a graveyard shift before? It is crazy. I worked the third shift for a while, and there were times when I would get off the shift and I would feel like I would watch myself do stuff. You know what I'm talking about? Just feel out of it. And someone is sitting in his boat. He's already brought it to land. He's already experienced a night of failure. He's been up all night fishing. He's caught nothing. He's mending the nets. He's getting things ready so he can just go home and sleep. He sat through a sermon and, he just wants to get home to take a rest and return that night to fish. And he didn't need a carpenter to tell him what to do. It's a well-known fact of the Sea of Galilee that you fish at night. You don't go into the deep water at the daytime. This would have been a waste of time in a fisherman's mind. But the Lord Jesus was telling Peter for him to do the exact opposite of what he reasoned the right thing to do. And that's how God works in our lives. Whether it's witnessing or giving or forgiving, or many times God calls us to do that which is an exact opposition to our human reasoning. It didn't make sense to go back into the Sea of Galilee after you just returned and brought the boat in and you're mending the nets. It would have taken hours to get out to the deep. They had to go back that night. But the Lord said, launch out into the deep. Hey friend, today here's the decision that Peter needed to make and what we need to make every single day. We can either stay on the shore and do what we can do that will give us the glory, or we can launch out into the deep and do only what he can do so he can get the glory. Peter could have fished off the dock. Peter could have done something there. And here the Lord says, leave. And then he says, don't just go out to the deep. Here's what I want you to do. When you go to the deep, believe. Notice, let down your nets for a draught. The word draught is a haul. It's something that's heavy. You know, the Lord doesn't simply want you to leave. He wants you to go out expecting and believing that he's about to do something miraculous through your life. Pastor John launching out today from this service isn't okay. He's leaving Tabernacle. Hey, we're expecting God to do great and mighty things in Apex, North Carolina, and great and mighty things through his ministry. Listen, he's launching out, and he's launching out in faith. And we're praying that God multiplies that ministry for his glory. Not for the glory of Tabernacle, not for the glory of Pastor John Utley, but for the glory of the Lord. Yeah, right. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 says this, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Yeah. Hey, if it just said that he can do what we think, that's wonderful. If it said that he can do what we can ask and think, that's really good. If it said that he can do exceeding above, that's great. But exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. So think of the highest thing that you could possibly do or what God could do. God can do exceeding abundantly above that in faith. I like what Simon says here. He says, nevertheless, at thy word, I will. You know, we need to get from the I've been toiling all night. We need to get from the excuses. We need to get from the human reasoning. We need to get from our experience. We need to move from what we've been doing, what we failed at, and what we think is right to do, to at thy word. Nevertheless, it may not make sense. It may not be what the surveys say. It may not be what everybody else wants. It may not be what I want necessarily at the time, but nevertheless, at thy word, I will. You see, Simon Peter had just seen the power of the word of God. In chapter 4, Jesus entered his house and healed his wife's mother and rebuked her fever. Chapter 4, verse 39 says, when Jesus spoke the word, it left her, and immediately she arose and ministered unto them. And he said, hey, if God can heal my mother-in-law, if God can step into a house and just speak a word for her to be healed, hey, I believe God's got power to do something in my life too. The ministry of Christ, preaching and teaching at your level. The mandate of Christ, to leave and to believe. Notice third, the mission of Christ. Jesus is about forgiveness and second chances. Jesus is about taking your failures and bringing you further to success. Jesus is about calling followers unto himself and inviting you to bring followers as well. Notice verse number 6. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so also was James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Don't miss this. Now, I had to study this for some time because I looked at it and I said, I never really heard it taught this way. But I had to study and look into it a little deeply. But notice verse number 4. Jesus said this. Notice in the text. Jesus said, let down what? Your nets. What did Peter do in verse number 5? He said, I will let down the net. Now, I looked into the Greek text, and again, it's very clear, it's singular. But somewhere along the line, the Catholic Church saw this and said, well, that means Peter was disobedient. So they changed it to say nets. And there are some translations that say net, the other that say nets. But a multitude of the manuscripts say net. Well, what happened? I believe as I've been studying this, it's clear. Jesus said, let down the nets. And Peter says, I will, at your word, I will, but I'll let down a net. And when he lets down just a single net, what happens? That net breaks. He may have left the other mended net on shore. But since he didn't have space to call in and bring in this thing, he had to call another boat. And that load was so heavy that the boats began to sink. And Peter saw his partial obedience. And Peter saw that when you only go halfway with God, things don't happen the way God wanted it to. And here he goes before Jesus and he falls before him and begs his forgiveness. See, partial obedience brings diminished reward and damaged resources. If he had only let down the nets, hey, I'll tithe 5%. I'll let down a net. I'll give. I'll give part of my time. Hey, I'll do Sunday morning, but don't ask about Sunday night and Wednesday night. Hey, I'll do this, but I won't do that. I'll serve your ministry, but I won't go there. Hey, let down the nets. Amen. It's saying, I'm just ready for whatever God has for me. I'm casting my bread upon the water. Whatever, I have no stipulations. I'm following your will. I'm going to take every opportunity for you to provide and for you to lead. I'm just going to follow you and let down the nets. Charles Spurgeon saw this passage and said, Peter thought that he knew more about fishing than Jesus did. Let down the nets? Nonsense. There's nothing there to catch. We ought to know. We fished over this corner of the lake all night. Still, just to humor you, Lord, I'll let down a net. And Peter's experienced hand felt the astounding response at once. Suddenly, the net, wholly inadequate for the task, was full to overflowing. Peter still knew it all. He summoned his partners, who by now had launched the other boat, and they drew alongside. Peter was still quite sure that he could handle things. He pulled on the net, and it broke. Still confident of his ability to handle things, Peter headed for the shore with this spectacular catch on board at last. Then the ship began to sink, and that was the end of Peter's pride and his self-will, and he fell at Jesus' knees. Hey, I'm glad that when the net breaks, I'm glad when we try to go halfway at God's will, he still gives us second chances. He falls before the Lord and says, I'm a sinful man. Hey, if we thought for a second the areas that God has led us into and how far we could have gone, if we could have seen what God could do in our life, if we would just simply surrender all and say, Lord, I'll do whatever you have. If we would just look for just a moment at what could happen if we just simply let down the nets, I believe that we would go to the Lord this morning and say, I'm sorry, Lord. I'm so sinful. I fall short of your calling and your commands. I fall short of what you want to do for me and through me. You see, I'm glad for these second chances. Here, Peter learned this object lesson of fully launching out at his word. Peter learned full obedience. Think with me. Maybe, just maybe, that's why when later when he's on the Sea of Galilee and he saw a spirit walking on the water, and maybe when he saw Jesus there and he knew that it was Jesus, not just a spirit, and maybe that's why he called out to him and said, Lord, if it is you, bid me to come out with you. You see, Peter didn't want to miss out on any miracle. Maybe that's why in John 21, when Jesus, again, after his resurrection, looked out at a boat that, again, could not catch fish, and Jesus said, launch out, cast it out on the right side. Maybe that's why Peter said, I'm jumping in the water. I'm going to swim to shore to where Jesus is. You see, it's not about the fish, it's about following Jesus. It's not about the fish, it's about finding followers for Jesus. Notice verse 10. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Peter is about to have his life changed forever, but he needed to deal with his fear. You know, that's what cripples many Christians, is the fear. Fear of rejection, fear of failure. Fear of if I leave or if I do this, then what may happen or what will people think? We've got to get beyond the fear and enter into a realm of faith. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. Hey, maybe you're there this morning and the Lord is leading you to launch out and do something great for God, but that fear is holding you back of failure, that fear of not really knowing what you could do. Listen, you've got to get beyond the shore. You've got to go out into the deep. You've got to allow God to be God. You've got to allow God to open up an opportunity and open a door that only he can do. Amen. Now look at our next building projects. We need to trust him to follow. We need to follow him and trust him to do what only he can do. And Peter would cast the net on the day of Pentecost. He cast the net. 3,000 fish, 3,000 souls were saved in the house of Cornelius. He would lower his line and Cornelius and his family and friends would be lifted up and they would be saved. Notice not just the mission of Christ, but notice finally the mark of following Christ. Look at verse number 11. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Did you notice the text? They forsook all. They forsook all the fish they just caught. They forsook all the nets that they were so intent on cleaning. They forsook the boats and the ships that were the means of their livelihood, and they left it all to follow the Lord. That's what it means to be a disciple. That's what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ, to forsake all. I think in the Old Testament of Elisha in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse number 19, when Elijah found Elisha, he was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. That's a lot of cows. And he's plowing with these oxen, and this was his livelihood, this was his inheritance, this was his work. And as Elijah passed by, he cast his mantle upon him, and here's Elisha, and he left the oxen and ran after Elijah, and he said, I'm ready to follow you, but first I need to go and take care of some things. And Elisha went back to his home, and yes, he said goodbye to his father and mother, but before leaving, here's what Elisha did. He slew all the oxen. He took the instrument, that wooden yoke that would have tied them together, and he brought it all together, made a big bonfire, and he burned it, and he burned the cows, and guess what? Everybody in the area had an all-you-can-eat steak dinner. And then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. Hey, maybe there's somebody this morning that needs to launch out and follow the Lord, but you're still holding on to a couple areas. You know, sometimes you just have to let go. Sometimes you just have to say, listen, I know this doesn't make sense, but I'm going to do it. And I'm putting myself in a position where I'm not going back. I'm not returning. I'm burning the oxen. I'm cutting the livelihood. This is what I want to do. This is what God wants me to do. So there's no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. And that's where you allow God to be God. Luke chapter 14, verse 26, Jesus said, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Jesus isn't saying you have to have wrath or have this hatred necessarily that would be sinful towards your family, but he's saying this, that your love for the Lord and your love for God and love for Him, everything else should look like hate in comparison. Is that your life? He says in verse 27, whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. What's the mark of following Christ? It's what we leave and it's what we love. Do you love your job more? Does your love for your job, does your love for your family, do your love for your friends, does that look like hate in comparison to your love for the Lord Jesus Christ? In John chapter 21, Jesus would remind Peter of this. After that second miraculous fishing expedition, 153 fish were caught, brought to the shore. This time, Peter followed through at the right side and followed it the right way. And in John 21, verse 15, it says, when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? What's Jesus saying? Do you love me more than the fish? Simon, do you love me more than that boat? Simon, do you love me more than those nets? And Jesus said, Simon said, you know that I love you. He said, all right then, feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. More than the fish, more than the boats, more than the nets. Do you love me? Are you willing to leave all that and do what I want you to do? See, Peter, it's not about the fish. It's about you following me. Launching out is not about you finding more fish to eat. It's about you finding fish to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to ask you this morning, are you a disciple of Jesus? Are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? Listen, friend, what is God calling you to do? Do you have unsaved family and friends? Launch out at His Word. Do you have a ministry gift that you're not using? Launch out at His Word. Is He calling you to do something He wants to do greatly through you, and He wants to equip you and allow you to accomplish something that He is leading you to do? Launch out at His Word. Has it been a while since you've seen an answered prayer or watched Him work in miraculous ways? Launch out at His Word. Is there a calling or a command that He wants you to fulfill? Launch out into His Word. I'm here to tell someone this morning, get out into the deep. Leave the shore. Go to a place where you have to trust God. I think of Pastor John and what he's doing that. I've referred that we need to have a 6-month separation here because he needs to be out in the deep for a little while. He doesn't need all of us coming in all the time and me calling and saying, how do I do this media thing? I'm going to try to do my best to go six months praying for him. Now, I may make it 6 hours, I don't know, but he needs to be out in the deep. He needs to be in a place where God's working on his life. That's what happened when I came here. I was out in the deep. I was over my head. But if you go to the Lord, He'll lead and He'll follow. Two takeaways from the text. Most of us practice a partial obedience. We'll launch out a little. But when the Lord tells us to launch out a lot, here's what we do. We give excuses and we give our experience. The Lord said to Peter, go launch out a little. Oh, not a problem with that. I'll launch out a little. But the Lord said, go out a lot. Lord, I've done that before. It didn't work. I'll do it again. Here's what I'm calling you to do. Number two, not only do most of us practice partial obedience, but fully following the Lord brings the greatest fulfillment. No turning back, fully following the Lord. In order for Peter to fall before his feet, he had to go and acknowledge who he was before God and say, I'm sinful. That's saying this, I can't do everything. One of the greatest things I had to admit and realize, and I do this on a daily basis, I can't do it, God. I've been encouraging the Utleys, if we get the idea that I can do this, and I got this, God resists the proud, gives grace to the humble. We have to come to a position to say, I can't do this, Lord. I'm a sinful man. There's no possible way. I need your power. I need your strength. I need you. But I believe the greatest part of the text was this. In order for Peter to fall before Christ's feet meant that Jesus was on the boat with him. Aren't you glad when he tells us to launch out, we're not alone. He's there with us every step of the way. In November 1975, you may be familiar with this story, the Edmund Fitzgerald was sailing through the Great Lakes at a time when the weather was turning, the ice was starting to form, and they left out. They were followed by another boat called the Arthur Anderson. It wasn't long where the Edmund Fitzgerald came into a horrifically bad weather storm. There were winds up to 80 miles an hour. There were waves 25 feet high. It said that their ice and snow was just flying everywhere. They were in a storm of a lifetime. If you know the story, you've heard how suddenly the Edmund Fitzgerald disappeared from the radar. The Arthur Anderson was following and kept asking over and again, are you there? Are you there? Captain Cooper safely brought the Arthur Anderson on aboard land, but still no word was heard from the Edmund Fitzgerald and the 27 souls on board. Here's the Arthur Anderson. Here's Captain Cooper. They're safe. They're on shore. But the word comes out that we fear the Edmund Fitzgerald has crashed. Suddenly, here's the question. Who will go and save the 27 souls? Captain Cooper thought it through and said, we can't go back into that storm. It almost took our lives. It would be insanity to step back into that place. But he met with his crew, and the crew said, if we don't go, who will go? We have to try to save them. After all, Captain, if we were out there, we would want them to leave the safety and the comfort of the harbor. Yes, we're terrified to go back through there. We don't want to go through that storm that we've just come out of, and it's frightening, but Captain, if we don't go, who will go? Captain Cooper paused and thought for a minute and said these words, prepare to launch. Prepare to launch. He said, we're about to sail into the storm. That's the worst I've ever seen in my lifetime. And he was a decorated sailor and captain, but he said these words, prepare to launch. We're going to go into that storm and try to save the crew of the Edmund Fitzgerald. I wonder if you and I were there, if we would say, prepare to launch. Do you realize, friend, that it's not about the fish, it's about people. There are people out there, and Simon went out to the deep, and he fished, and he caught the fish, and the net broke. But I'm here to remind you this morning, there are people out in this lost and dying world that have never heard the name of Jesus. There are folks in Wilson that we've never talked to and have never heard a clear presentation of the gospel. And listen, friend, they're dying, and they need us to go out into the deep. They need us to go to them with the gospel of Jesus Christ and go fishing. When the Langmans first came, the first summer before Pastor John was here, I ran Vacation Bible School. Nightmare, but it happened. The Langmans just came, and we went out to Chase Road where we used to live. Do you remember that? We were knocking on doors, and as we were knocking on doors with the youth group, and I took the first mission team to New York City, the teen mission team, and I said, our phrase was this, let's go fishing. We went down Chase Road, and there were a group of kids standing by a big tree, and I said, hey, there's a bunch of fish over there. Scotty, go sick them. John, go sick them. And they went over, and they went and fished those kids and got them all signed up for Bible school. And I remember looking at a house. I was looking at an old picture on Facebook last week from 6 years ago and 5.5 years ago, and I remember being led into a house to knock on the door across the street directly where all those kids were in that big area. And I believe this was divine of the Lord. And I knocked on the door, and there was a man that was standing there, and he was crying. And he said, my best friend just died today. And I was sitting here on this couch, and I was wondering about eternity. If that's not a God moment, what is? I said, well, I believe the Lord led me here to pray with you. He trusted Christ as his Savior. Hey, they are fish. And I don't know about you, but there are times in my life, this past week in preparation for this message, I've just said, Lord, I am a sinful man. There are way too many times the Lord tells me to launch out, and I say, well, I've been down that street before. I've knocked on those doors before. I haven't caught anything there before. The Lord's saying, launch out into the deep. I've talked to that family member before, and they didn't listen to me. I've shared to those friends the gospel. They didn't care. And Jesus is saying, launch out in the deep. Go in my power. Go with my presence. And when you go with my power and my presence, I'll bring in the sheaves, and you'll doubtless return rejoicing, bringing your sheaves with you. Hey, friend, who's ready to go fishing? Launch out into the deep. Let's stand to our feet, heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around. I believe as the Lord